You're listening to Humanitarian Radio with your hosts, Tony St. Tone and Janie Beauclair.
Good afternoon and welcome to this edition of Humanitarian Radio. Hope you're having an awesome day today. All around the country, it's been some beautiful weather on this lovely Sunday. And we hope you're out there enjoying some great people and some great family and fun and doing your thing to relax and get your brain back in gear for a beautiful week. So a couple things. I'm Janie Beauclair, and I'm here with Mr. Tony St. Tone. Hi, Tony. How are you today?
Doing great. How are you doing?
I'm awesome.
You are always awesome.
Thank you.
Wow. What a great plug. No, seriously, you know, we had the great, great experience this past Wednesday night. If anyone got a chance to listen to our show last week, last Sunday's show, we had a guest named Marilyn Harper, and she is originally from Missouri, as we found out, but she travels all around the country. And what she is she is a channel, and she channels an entity known as Adironda.
For those of you who don't know what a channel is,
listen to the show.
Listen to the show. I love that.
Out.
And you can still go back and click on Marilyn's face in our, we always have the archives of every single guest for the last year. So you can listen to any of the shows at any time you want just by going to humanitarianradio.com.
Yeah. But what we did is we had the fortunate experience to go and meet with her at one of her classes on Wednesday night. And it was just, it was awesome.
I think it's more of a session than a class.
Because yeah, it's a session,
you're
I guess.
You're not working. You're just sitting there listening, which is just amazing.
Yeah, it was a great, great experience. And I highly recommend if you get an opportunity to go and see her live, definitely do it. She is traveling all around the country. She's on her way back to Missouri right now, I believe, but she will be back here. And she's having a music conference, or actually a spiritual conference, at Mount Shasta.
Yeah, Mount Shasta, which is Northern California up by the Sacramento area.
Right, and we're talking to her about us performing there, having the band St. Tone perform at that conference. So some really cool things, very exciting things of what she's doing. And just real quick, what she's talking about, one of the things that she's talking about, or Adironda is talking about, is that we're moving into the fifth dimension. And I think that's really exciting that, you know, staying positive, and that's what we try to talk about all the time, is staying positive, all the good things that are happening. We're moving into a time right now here that things are going to manifest a lot quicker.
I thought it was real interesting how she said, anything you ever learned or tried to do to manifest things for yourself in the past, wipe that slate clean because it's a brand new ball game.
Yeah.
It's even right up to 2013, she says, anything up to 2013, forget it. Because everything has shifted.
Everything has shifted, yeah. And those of that are in the know that we're all going through a major change right now. But it's just something really cool to understand this. Say, hey, listen, if you want something in your life, talk about it in a positive way.
Speak it out.
And don't talk about, you know, I need a new car because my old car, the admission's gone. This is bad and this is bad. No, just talk about the new car and how great it's going to be to be in the new car.
I want a new car that's going to fit all six of my children when I take them to baseball practice.
Right, but just feel it, experience it. Imagine yourself already having it. Yourself in that vibration. As you put yourself in that vibration, the laws of attraction pulls you that much closer to it.
Yeah, and what she was saying was, you know, literally, here's the example she gave, which I thought was brilliant. She said, it doesn't work like this. I want a hot fudge sundae, I close my eyes, I open them again, and I have one in my hand. It's not, I dream a genie.
Right, right.
It's I want an ice cream sundae. So don't you know that sometime in your path, minutes later, days later, whatever, somebody comes up and goes, you know, I got a coupon for buy one, get one free ice cream sundae. You want to go have one with me?
Exactly. So when you start having that understanding of how things are shifting.
And how you can bring them into yourself.
You can have some really cool opportunities to manifest for yourself. So go out there and manifest what you want in a positive way.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now's the time to make things happen for yourself. Shake up your own life. You've got the power. So first of all, I want to talk about how fabulous people in our country are. Yes, I said fabulous. You know, when people are in need in this country, others come to their rescue. And I think that is just such an amazing and beautiful thing, how people can pour their hearts out to our fellow Americans and our fellow Americans respond. And what I'm talking about is the Mike Precise campaign that we are working right now. Our friend Mike and his twin brother are both suffering from a very rare eye disease, and they have a limited amount of time before their vision is completely gone. Now, these guys are 28 years old, so they're not very old to be losing their vision at this point. And the amazing thing is we did find somebody who can actually cure them, can literally laser their disease away and give them full restoration 20/20 sight back. So Humanitarian Radio and St. Tone partnered together to launch a GoFundMe campaign for Mike and his brother. And we launched it a week ago, and we've already raised $1,215, and we're asking for $5 donations, and so you do the math, okay? What is really awesome is the majority of the people who have donated from across the United States, they don't know Mike and his brother. They're going on, you know, blind faith, and I think that is just so amazing that you can give of your heart to help save the vision of a couple of guys, not even knowing them. If you knew these guys, you'd give in a heartbeat because they're just awesome people. And they're up and coming and they're doing great things in the world. And Mike particularly, Tony and I have worked with for the last year and a half. And he has got some amazing talent. He started Taylor Swift Radio for Taylor. And, yeah, I mean, he's just got this extraordinary talent, and we have to all band together and help he and his brother regain their sight. So at this point, we need $25,000 per guy. They each need 3 surgeries per eye. So each brother needs 6 laser surgeries to get rid of the 3 complications that they have in each eye. The very first surgery for each eye is $5,000. It's $4,500, actually. And that surgery stops the disease. So that's the most important one at the moment, is getting each of these boys that $4,500 for each eye. Once we raise that, then the next step is they tackle the next problem that they have. They've got, you know, just various complications, kind of like glaucoma and things like that, that cloud your vision. They've got some of those things going on in addition. But the main thing is to get the disease stopped. So we are almost halfway to the first surgery after just a week. And I want to thank all of our friends and strangers that are now our new friends for just reaching out into their communities and helping strangers. That is so amazing. And absolutely, you guys, thank each and every single one of you. Please go to humanitarianradio.com and click on Mike's beautiful face. You'll see his pretty brown eyes right there, and help us save him. Help us save his vision.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a simple thing, and it's such a simple donation to give, and you're giving the gift of sight. And all I need to say to you is close your eyes right now and look around with your eyes closed. That's where Mike, unfortunately, is heading, but we can correct that with just a simple donation. So, you know, it might sound like we're doing a telethon here, but we are. We're trying to really just help someone out, and there is technology out there to help him. We just need to raise the money to do it. And all it takes is $5 from each person who's listening right now. So if you get a chance, please give.
So now let's talk about today's guest for a moment. Speaking of doing really good things for other human beings, Anton Troy is an actor. He's going to be on with us today. And why I wanted him on was because he did something really extraordinary a few weeks ago. He stood up for another human being who was being verbally tortured, if you will, at a performance. And I'm going to let him tell about that himself. But this guy took it on himself to stand up and back a gentleman named John Lacey. And John was fired for what happened. And Anton said, if you fire him, I'm going too, because it's a matter of principle and it's a matter of what's right. And I applaud guys like Anton who have the courage to stand up for what's right, even if it causes them to lose their job. He's a stand-up guy. I'm really anxious to have him on the show and for you guys to get to know him. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
I'm living here in a state of abundance. I'm counting blessings that I never saw before. Because I'm the ruler of this kingdom I call me.
Positive affirmations wrapped in pop rock songs.
Give me that SK scenario.
It's motivational musician Saint Tone.
Stereo.
Check Check out his latest live show, The Rise Up Experience, at www.sainttone.com.
Mama said we can always hug it out.
Pick up his latest CD, Outside the Box, available on iTunes. For music with a positive message, check out sainttone.com.
Hi, this is Janie from Artistic Journey, and we're celebrating summertime. Put your logo on a beautiful beach towel or a beach ball, a frisbee, a coolie cup, a cooler. There's so many great, beautiful products that you can put your logo or event marketing onto and let people know what's going on with you this summer. It's a great way to generate and remind new clients that you're still doing what you do. If you're looking for a new idea, give us a call. With 20 years of experience, we have great ideas to help you promote your company in the light that you want to be seen. So go to www.artisticjourney.com, shop till you drop, and if you need a hand, feel free to give us a call at 941-780-2538 and get your project in motion with an artistic promotion. Hey, so we're back and we have the fabulous and dashing actor Anton Troy in the house with us today. Hi, Anton. How you doing, buddy?
Wow, you guys are so kind. Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
I like the word dashing.
I know. Yeah, well, if you look at his picture, my God.
Prancer, come dashing.
James
come
Dean.
James Dean, there it is. If James Dean was ever called dashing.
I mean, it could be used for seasoning, for, you know, running, for all kinds of terms.
I like it. It's a verb. It's like Sting. He's a verb. He's not stung. He's in action. He's Sting.
Exactly. His real name's Gordon, isn't it?
It is important, you know, and you should know marketing. You're out there doing this. And real quick, I mean, we know that you're an actor, but we want to get to know who you are and how you came to be. So tell us a little bit about your grandfather, I believe it is. Is that correct?
He has a famous grandfather.
My family is pretty much entertainment-based. My grandfather was a very famous stuntman back in the day, I guess you could say. His name is Bob Fulkerson, and he started out at the age of 14 really as a rodeo cowboy, producer or director. Somebody saw him in the grandstands doing his thing and put him to work as a stuntman in the movies, and he started out doubling James Cagney and a bunch of actors and did all the major westerns, Gunsmoke, Bonanza, The Rifleman.
Wow.
And yeah, he was one of the top guys. And then my aunt was a major stuntwoman, and my mom was an actress and mime, and my mom's brother was a child actor and stuntman. So there's lots of entertainment people.
Yeah, it's
in
your blood, brother. It's totally in your blood.
I was just going to ask, now, have you done any stunts like that? Have you ever fallen off of a horse or any of that stuff?
Not on purpose.
Well, I've probably fallen off of a horse, but I don't know if it was intentional.
Okay. Gotcha.
I just decided not to do stunts. I mean, I kind of saw the toll that it took on some of my family members and whatnot, and I just decided that, you know, I'm so much of a ham that I enjoy behind-the-scenes stuff, but even though a stuntman's very much in front of the scenes, but I really, you know, wanted to act and kind of didn't want as many bruises. So.
Yeah, there's a lot of pain associated with being a good stuntman.
I was going to say, you wanted to wake up in the morning and not be like, oh my God, I can't get out of bed, and I'm only like, you know, 23 after falling out of a...
Exactly. My aunt had, I think, like 9 concussions or something. She did the stunt for like 48 hours, did a couple specials on her. Her name is Cindy Fulkerson, and she did all the stunts for the girl in Broken Arrow, and she's been in Swordfish, and she was Jane Seymour's stunt double on Medicine Woman for years.
Wow.
And yeah, she's one of the things my family specialized in was horse stunts. So my grandfather was one of the only men in Hollywood back during the Western era and whatnot that could drive an 8-horse team. So he would do stagecoaches and a bunch of stuff, all kinds of stunts. Yeah, he worked with every major celebrity, you know, back then, when, some of them that I idolized, like I have a autographed headshot from Elvis Presley to my grandfather from the 60s.
Wow.
Which is one of my prized possessions.
Yeah, I can imagine. Anything with Elvis and having his signature has got to be just pretty cool.
So you...
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah, it's totally cool. But I have a lot of pride in that.
So you grew up on a lot of sets and backstage, I would imagine.
Yeah, well, my mom, like I said, was a mime and a children's entertainer. And I grew up, she performed at Knott's Berry Farm when I was a kid, so I grew up around Snoopy and the Peanuts Gang.
Wow, that's so funny.
And pretty funny facts for you.
Which is really different than if you had grown up with Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah.
True.
It would have been a different life.
You'd be a
true.
Different
guy. Yeah, Snoopy and I used to hang out. And then my mom and I moved to Vegas at a young age because she was a single mom. My grandmother lived out there, and then she performed in various places out there. And, you know, I also sometimes would visit my aunt on set. Like when I was 14, I got to visit, you know, some major movie sets. One of the coolest sets I got to visit when I was a kid was the Starship Troopers set, and I got to go down the zip line and some of the spaceships and some cool stuff like that.
So when do you feel you got the bug? How old do you think you were when you decided you were going to get into this world?
Oh, man, I was doing shows for the family at, like, probably, like, 4 or 5. I was, like, setting up boxes. That was probably my height of my stunt career. I was, like, crashing into boxes in the living room. Full cowboy attire.
Nice.
So,
but I've always been a little bit of a ham that way, and you know, I always really like to kind of make people laugh and entertain them. So that's why I love acting so much.
Did your mom try out different acts on you since she did a lot of children's shows? Did she go, "All right, Anton, I'm going to try this bit on you. Sit down, and I'm going to see how this works. It makes you laugh."
You give her a thumbs up or a thumbs down?
Well, I tell you what, she didn't do that so much, but I usually had to help her and kind of like be the little assistant. And entertainers aren't always the easiest to work for. Like, she was, you know, very professional, and she's one of the best at what she does. And, you know, she had high demands of me, so I really learned a lot of professionalism, you know, and kind of that old school entertainment mentality. You know, when you're performing, and you do 100%. And, you know, she raised me from a level of excellence in that, where if you're going to hit the stage, you're going to do, you know, an amazing job. And regardless of what happens, whether you have a heckler or something breaks on the stage, you keep going. So I learned all that stuff from Mom.
And, you know, you probably got better training than most people who come out to Hollywood to be an actor and go to colleges or various theatrical schools to learn. You probably got far better training because it was your mom and you were expected to do big things with her.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, listen,
well,
we met you.
It hasn't made it any easier. like having the connections and stuff like that hasn't made it any easier because, you know, my family, like I said, my grandfather, he died in 1976. I never had the pleasure of meeting him personally. But, you know, I definitely learned, like you said, how to act during a performance, how to, you know, have etiquette, things like that, that have helped me immensely. And those are things that you can't necessarily read in a book. You know, you kind of grow up around that. And it has definitely programmed into me my work ethic. So I'm very grateful to her for that.
So we met you on the set of Chillerama. And we got to see you act firsthand. And that was a real fun movie that was, if you haven't seen it, go check out Chillerama. It's still available. I'm pretty sure you can get it on...
you watch on Netflix.
Netflix. Thank you. I was thinking iTunes, but that's not the place. So I'm really grateful that we were able to meet you there and get to know you. And, you know, it has cultivated into now you being on the radio show. So that's really awesome. And then we heard about you through another one of our good friends who was on the show, and that's Sue Procco from SPPR. And she was working with you on a project, Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. And I started to tell our listeners about what happened, but I didn't really tell them. All I said was that there was a show that you were involved in, and there was an incident at that show, and you stood up for your fellow actor and took a stance. So I want to talk a little bit about what that show was and just briefly what went on and what made you feel like you needed to stand up and hold your position in that show.
Well, that's a loaded one.
Ready, begin.
Well, you know, I was playing Brick in Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. For anybody that's familiar with that play, it's the Tennessee Williams play. It's a classic. The movie was portrayed by Paul Newman and Elizabeth Taylor. And Burl Ives is Big Daddy. It's another same thing, classic movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I just showed up to work one night out in it was out in Newhall, out by Santa Clarita, which is funny because it's like this kind of like this little western town as well. And what ended up happening was it ended up being a difficult night. We had a lot of things go wrong, and then when I eventually did hit the stage, in the first act, I was getting booed by this guy in the audience for the first half of the show, and then every time the female lead who played Maggie, my wife, would come out, she would get catcalled and whistled at. And I went back during the intermission pretty upset about it, because it's a very difficult play to do. It's got very heavy themes of death and underlying, you know, sexuality issues and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to John Lacey, who's my co-star, who plays Big Daddy, plays my father. And I told him, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do if this guy keeps booing me like this. It's very distracting. And he said, oh, he's not booing you. He's just booing the character. You know, use it in the work. So I like I said, because of Mom and that work ethic that I have, I'm the show must go on kind of guy.
Right.
And I just sat down, put my headphones on, listened to my meditation music or whatever gets me in the mood.
Mm-hmm.
And focused. And the second act is really... really, you know, heavy lifting, I would say. It's very deep, sad in a lot of parts.
Very emotional.
Very emotional. You can usually hear a pin drop in the second act. That's all the stuff between Big Daddy and Brick, and pretty much asking why drinks, and then what happened between Brick and Skipper, who was his best friend in high school and college. They played pro football together. And then Skipper kills himself after making confession to Brick, and then Brick starts to drink himself to death, and it's implied that there was something else going on more than friendship.
Mm-hmm.
So all that comes out during then, and there was a man in the audience, like I said, he started to boo John. And then John, you know, I think was a little shocked that it was as severe as it was. And then the man started to yell homophobic slurs at me on stage. Every time Big Daddy would ask me a question, he would fill in the blank for me. And
did he think he was at the Rocky Horror Picture Show or something? Did he thought he had to contribute to this?
I don't know. I don't even think it'd be appropriate at the Rocky Horror Picture Show, because, you know, usually everybody's really nice at the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I don't think that kind of action is appropriate anywhere in this world at this point.
It's a very diverse bunch at that kind of show. And, this guy, he started yelling homophobic slurs at me of the three-letter nature. And John took care of it, pretty much told the guy, you know, what did you say? And he very proudly said that he was the one that said it, and, you know, what are you going to do about it? And John went out into the audience, pushed him over. And I had another friend in the audience that happened to be Tim Sullivan from Chillerama, who's, as you know, a very large man. He's probably about 6'4".
Right.
I'd say three bills, and he happened to be gay, and he took the guy out by his belt straps and pretty much said, you know, you want to see what we do.
Go, Tim. Awesome.
I was going to say, and yeah. John's a pretty big guy, too, so I'm so really surprised that no one else had reacted.
Around
like the
him.
Audience members weren't like, you know, dude, shut up.
Shut up, yeah.
Or
well, they were starting to. They were, you know, there was some gasps. When you said that in the theater, I think there was a big, long gasp. But I tell you what, after this guy was kicked out, there was a thunderous applause. by the theater goers, and we went back on stage, and John said, "Hey, do you want us to, you know, continue the show?" And they were very enthusiastic. Everybody said yes. We finished the show to a standing ovation and went next door for drinks. And then the short version of this very long story is John was fired, and I found out about it, and I didn't agree with it, so I quit.
I think that is just...
The play, they didn't really have much play.
You know, there's two things to say about that. First of all, that he was fired for doing that is absolutely ridiculous and absurd. And I can't even say enough about how disturbing it is that he was fired over that. And then secondly, for you to take a stand with him is priceless. And that just goes to show the character that you have and who you are as a human being. And I applaud you hugely for taking that stand, because let's face it, it does take cojones to take a stand like that. You are going to get some ridicule in some schools for doing it.
But oh, and also, I mean, you're this is your place
your
of
livelihood,
employment,
right?
And to walk away from any job as an actor, you know, in Hollywood is almost like
a curse.
Never done, because everyone works so hard to get the job. So
right.
You never actually want to walk off a set. But in this situation, it was such a unique situation, and the fact that you actually did that, I think, again, you
I'm
are
sure
to be applauded for, because
you're getting a standing ovation right now from the country. I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
People listening to this are definitely applauding you, brother, because, you know, way to go. Way to go.
So let's talk about now what has happened since then. So
thank you.
That's where we want to put the emphasis on.
You're part of the No Hate team.
Yeah. Well, it's been crazy, to say the least. It was never a question in my mind of what to do. Initially, I was scared like anybody else when I was going to make that post on Facebook that morning before this all went viral. I really did it from just the space of, you know, what is really trying to unfold here as far as what's the greater good telling me to do? As funny as that sounds to some people, it was really important to me just to do the right thing as far as by my friend and also with the Tennessee Williams play.
Right.
I had my mom's brother, I was saying that was a child actor, died of AIDS in the 80s, and I have lots of gay friends and stuff like that, and I wasn't about to stand on the side of the homophobe.
Yeah,
I'd be like,
totally.
Oh, sure, you can replace them, it's cool.
Right.
And anybody that saw the story knows that, you know, what happened after that is pretty much TMZ-worthy stuff with the rest of the cast, how everything laid out, and to bring it full circle, the support that we've had after what we did, which really we did out of a place of, like, I was ready to walk away from it. I wasn't doing it from the standpoint of, oh, let me do this so something else can come out of this. It was really, you know what, I love this part, I love this play, I love everybody in the cast, but if I need to walk away because it's the right thing to do, I need to walk away, and that's it.
Yeah.
So when we had this outpouring of support and inspired people, you know, I had people emailing me online. I had one gentleman from Virginia who was 75 years old and said, "Thank you so much for what you did. Tennessee Williams would be so proud. You know, we need heroes like you in the theater." We have other stories where kids were telling me, you know, they've come out to their parents because of this. Or
wow.
They have
big impact.
Been really, yeah, really inspired because they had been bullied or even bullied in that town. And they wish they could have done something like that. So we really became unlikely heroes for a lot of people, which I'm very honored to do. And then, as you know, the show got canceled right after that because I said I wasn't going to act with anybody else if it wasn't John.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't do anything really to rectify it. So we had no show to do. And John had a lot of family and people flying in from all over, like his mother and lots of family members. They already bought tickets and everything. Fly in. And then Tim Robbins and Brian Finney over at the Actors Gang got word of it, and they offered to let us use their theater in Culver City for a special performance. And then what we did after that, because I've worked with them before back during the Chillerama days and whatnot, was I thought, why don't we make this into an event where we can really raise more awareness and do some good, since it is inspiring so many people. So we teamed up with the No Hate campaign, And then all the ticket proceeds, everything, John, myself, nobody got paid. The actors being some of their, you know, skeleton staff, because a lot of them were out of town in China doing Midsummer Night's Dream. You know, they just had their base costs that they had to take care of, but everything above that went directly to the No Hate campaign. And we raised awareness and a few bucks for them. So I was really, really pleased with that. And we sold it out probably within an hour.
Wow. See, that's awesome. Serious support.
And that speaks volumes for all those that are out there trying to do the right thing and to listen to your gut. And, you know, I love the fact that you said that you didn't do what you did from a place of, oh, I can gain some notoriety from this, or this would be good as a TMZ thing. You did it because you genuinely felt this is the right thing to do, and I'm actually going to walk away from a job that's paying me. And again, we already said how that's suicidal here in Hollywood, but you knew that was the right thing to do. And for them to still not do anything about it, and I'm really interested to see that since you guys did do this, how they felt, those that fired you went, wow, we screwed up. Maybe we should have done the right thing and kept them on staff, yeah. You know?
And I think it's really cool that the rest of the cast joined you guys in putting on this performance somewhere else. So they obviously were behind you also.
That's actually, Janie, that only four of the original cast members, including John and myself, did the No Hate performance.
Really?
And
wow.
Yeah, what was cool about it is, and the reason nobody else could have done it, I think, other than the Actors Gang in town, is not only did they lend us their beautiful theater for an evening of theater, they also supplied all the additional parts that we didn't have, people that had quit or, you know, the relationships were just too severed at that point, and filled in their own actors. So they had their own actors in costume, on book, on stage. I think we might have had maybe 4 days
to
rehearse the whole thing.
Scrambling.
And we pulled it off. And once again, it was a big hit. Amazing night, did a lot of good, and it's not something that I know I will soon forget.
Right.
It all came out of not knowing, really, when we originally did this. Like I said, I had no idea it was ever going to blow up like it did.
Have you ever been confronted with a situation like this in the past and chose not to quit or just chose to ignore it?
Well, I think we've all had situations in our lives where we thought, man, I could have handled that better. I wish I would stood up or said this or said that. And I think those also are what drives us to stand up when the timing is right. Like I have said pretty much since day one, I didn't wake up one morning and say, hey, let me be an advocate of equal rights here.
Right, right. It's something you've always felt.
I'm going to be an activist today. But what happened was, just because I'm someone that does a lot of inner work myself, you know, I'm really into Michael Bernard Beckwith and Agape, and I'm very into that community, and I've had a lot of things in my own life with not having a father and stuff like that I've had to work through and learn self-love and who I really am. I also know that when it's your time to stand up, you have to do that. And I felt like it was my time to stand up. So really the craziest thing that I did was just following the call, the inner call of what I felt like I had to do from a moral standpoint, if that makes sense.
Totally, totally. And, you know, the fact that you are involved with Michael Beckwith and Agape and stuff lets me know, lets our listeners know, if anyone out there is familiar with Agape, that Agape is a spiritual center. And what it is it's equal rights for everyone. And it's love your brother, love everyone, and treat everyone equally. And they don't put restraints on who they accept or who they don't accept as far as people that come there to worship. It's a very
open
and accepting community. And I think you coming from that place and being involved with Agape, which Janie and I are involved with Agape also, just gives you a different mindset. Like, hey, you know what? We don't have to agree, but I'm not going to disrespect someone, you know, just if I don't agree with their opinion or what their thoughts or what their beliefs are. You just say, hey, live and let live. You know, I'm not going to push my judgment onto you. So I think it's great that you had already come from that perspective.
And you actually did an interview where Michael Beckwith of Agape interviewed you. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it was a real honor because I've gone to Agape for probably 5 or 6 years, and it's changed my life in so many ways. And he had us a special guest probably about, I don't know, maybe like 3 weeks ago, and interviewed us in front of the whole congregation and honored us and educated people on what was going on and really stood alongside us in support of what we had done. Because, as you know, the thing with Agape, or even just a principle for life that I live by, is not only acceptance of all people, because it's like a color wheel. There's all different colors, right? There's all different shades. And why deny that, you know, green and blue don't exist?
Right.
And then the other part of it is living from a place of excellence where you are expressing your talents, gifts, and abilities and sharing those with the world. Because, as you know, even if you have a great talent, a great gift, it wasn't given just for you.
Right.
It was given for you to share with the world. And that's why with the scenario and everything, the way it went down, and also with Tennessee Williams and knowing the kind of life that he lived, the man bled himself on those pages, pretty much talking about how he wished he was accepted during that time the way that he wanted to be. And that's kind of who Brick is in some ways. And it was a complete contradiction for me not to follow that as well.
Right, and right, right.
You stand didn't on stage and play that character with any truth.
So, Anton, I'm going to throw a question out at you. Do you feel that you were put in this position because you had the strength and the integrity to do the right thing, and you doing the right thing was going to be a representation for others that they can stand up for their rights also and not be criticized and not be ridiculed, meaning that somehow, subconsciously, you knew that you could handle this, and
this is why the universe
your
gave
higher
it to you.
Self or source said, here, we're going to put you in this position to help others in a way that you have no idea that you're going to help, because you're going to really stand up and be who you are. Do you feel like you were put in that position?
I have definitely thought about that, and I would say it's not something that I would have planned out by any means or could have planned out by any means.
No,
however,
of course not.
I do feel in some regards it was something, for whatever reason, I was chosen to be the face of this campaign along with John, or be the face of
courage,
standing up for what you believe in at this point in time through a very powerful Nobel Prize winning play.
Yeah.
Well, and that's how I feel, and that's why I wanted to bring that forward, is I really feel that you were chosen to do this and to stand up this way on a subconscious level, because of who you are, because you have stood up for the right reasons, and your background already expresses that of you already feel this in your heart. You're like, listen, I'm going to walk away from this because I know it's the right thing to do, not because someone's going to pick up on the story and praise me for it. It's because it's the right thing to do.
And a lot of other people could have been put in the same position, and I'm sure have been put in the same position over the last, 20, 30 years.
Right.
Just, this isn't a new subject.
And didn't have the strength to do it, which is okay. No one's saying that it's bad. It's just that, wow, what a blessing you've been given, and you've taken that blessing and have blessed others with it because you did the right thing and you've encouraged others to be able to step forward. I think it's excellent.
Well, the best way to lead is by example. John and I check in with each other pretty much every day. We're very good friends. And one of the things that him and I both acknowledged from the get-go is I really feel like the reason there's been so much good that has come out of this, not only for people, but as far as for us as well, is because our intentions were pure from the beginning.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And it didn't come from a selfish place. It wasn't, because I've had people try to throw mud at me and say, oh, it's a publicity stunt. They're trying to get their 15 minutes, this and that and the other.
Yeah.
and he should have never touched him, and the list goes on.
Right.
But predominantly, the feedback from fans and people in general, from what I've seen, has been mostly positive. And it's like I said, I really am just somebody that believes very dearly in integrity. And that's what I strive for in my daily life. And I just felt like it was an integral thing to do. And I'm very honored that it has inspired others. And I'm very honored that I can be part of it.
Definitely. Definitely. I totally agree. And I applaud you again for not allowing the people that didn't understand what you did to dim your light. And because there's always going to be someone out there who says, oh, yeah, it's publicity stunner. Oh, yeah, you shouldn't have done this. You shouldn't have done that. It's like, you have no idea what I should have, shouldn't have done. I did what I did. I stand by what I did. And let the pieces fall where they fall. There's always going to be someone who's got a critique about it, like, you should have done this and should have done that. So,
and let's talk about the good that came out of this, actually, for John. We wanted to have John on the radio show today, but he wasn't available. So, Anton, tell everybody why John wasn't available. Where is he?
Well, the very cool thing is this has attracted a lot of attention from the media. It's been in every major publication in L.A. and many of them abroad that I can think of. But it's also been supported by a lot of influential people. And one of the people that has supported us from the get-go, just because he'd read about it and was very fired up about it, is Anson Mount, who's the star of Hell on Wheels on AMC. And he was blogging about it from the beginning, talking about, you know, how he thought what we did was amazing, and, you know, John standing up and me being in support of him, and he said some other stuff that you can read. You can look up the article. It's very good.
Okay.
But he supported us from the get-go, and he was so passionate about what we did that they happened to have a role that fit John, and they called, and Anson hired him personally, and John is in Calgary, Canada, on the set right now, filming that.
That's so awesome.
That is awesome for him.
Another thing about standing up, and I sent Anson a card for John to take, thanking him, is, once again, he is somebody that didn't have to, especially in his position, stand up and say anything. He could have, you know, bitched about it in the comfort of his own living room and never publicly said anything, but
right.
He decided to stand up and put his money where his mouth is, and not only support us and bring more attention because of that, but also hire John and bring him on set and make him part of the family, and he's going to be, you know, very involved. Coming up with a lot of the other stuff we're doing, and we're very honored to have him as an ally in this.
It's very, very exciting, and you do have some really cool stuff coming up, which you can't exactly spill the beans on, but very exciting, and definitely people should keep their eye on what you've got going on. Is there anything that you can tell us about what's coming?
Well, it's not over yet. That much I can say in confidence. We do have some very large, amazing plans that we're working on, not only to continue doing the great Tennessee Williams work, Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, but also to raise awareness and keep the ball rolling and raise awareness even on a larger scale so we can continue to inspire people. Because John and I have, like I said, really given everything a lot of thought, and we've been working with Sue Procco, who is an amazing publicist, and a lot of amazing people on our team right now. And the one thing that we've come to really agree upon is talking about what happened initially, all the negativity that, even when we talked to Michael Beckwith about it at Agape, that's not important. To me, that's old news, it's passé, I don't want to kick a dead horse. However, what is relevant is the way it is affecting people, and the only way that John and I can see a relevant way to even continue doing the work is because it's inspiring so many people. We think the best way to do that and the best way to raise awareness for equality and continue enriching and enlightening others is through doing the play. So we are definitely working on some really cool stuff to keep that ball rolling. And people can check out our social media. We have a page that's called Tolerance Inc. It's Tolerance Inc. on Facebook. And that's kind of like our community that updates everybody about everything that we're doing as far as that. And I also have a Facebook page and website and stuff like that as well.
So, Anton, our listening audience is always really supportive of the people that we have on our show. How can they help you guys in facilitating what you have coming up? Like, do you need volunteers? Do you need cash donations? Do you need people to help you advertise? What kind of things can our listeners do to help and support your upcoming project?
Well, we will definitely need support from the fans, because the fans are really the people that have made this whole thing possible to begin with. So for multiple reasons, we want to keep everybody involved. We feel like a community already. And the best way to find out how you can be of service, if you would like to, for that, is to go to our Tolerance Inc. page. Or even go to my fan page on Facebook, which is Anton Troy Official. Twitter pages are my website. And I will be posting very soon some very exclusive updates on how people can participate or contribute if they want to.
Excellent. Excellent. And listen, will you come back on the show and let us know the excitement of what it is that's coming up when it's time, when you can say it? And will you give us the details so we can get our people to come and see the show?
We want the front scoop, basically, is what we're saying. We want to jump the media. We're asking
exclusive.
Now. Exclusive.
And it's exclusive live on Humanitarian Absolutely. Radio with Anton Troy leaking today's story. Yeah, we'll do it like that.
Was I supposed to answer that, or was it?
No, yes, that's the future.
You can answer that, and we'll take that as a yes.
No, seriously, though, because I got confused. It sounded like a recording on top of the what you were saying.
Yeah, that's because Janie's going into her theater days here, and she just pulls out these different characters every once in a while. The doctor's trying to figure out a prescription to give her, but we can't quite get it balanced
yet. Can't
nail it yet. Yes, I would love to come back on, and I'll make sure I bring John Lacey, Mr. Big Daddy, with me next time.
Yeah, that would be very cool. You know, and feel free to bring anyone else on that is supporting you along this, because obviously this trail is not ended, and you have a longer journey ahead of you to keep doing what you're doing, and which is, I feel, is inspiring a lot of people out there to step up.
Absolutely.
That's what I really feel. I feel like you are the spokesperson for people just to step up and step up to your beliefs and not allow society or other people make judgments and say, hey, you know what, I'm stepping up for the right thing, and you're willing to take whatever consequences come. And in your case, the consequences have been excellent, because obviously a lot of people agree with you and what you and John have done. And I think it's great that you guys are doing this, because now you're bringing more awareness to situations like this around the world, but also how to deal with it. And you're being truthful to yourself. I think I applaud you on what you're doing.
Thank you. Everybody else has inspired me to keep going as well. So,
Know that you have a new group of fans through Humanitarian Radio, and we've got some great supporters. Anton and I just know that you're going to have some new pals following you and watching you. And our people are usually right on with offering a lot of support. So don't be afraid to ask. Come back anytime. And we totally look forward to what you have to offer in the future, because you're a great guy. You stand for what you believe in. You're also a terrific actor, which we didn't even touch on that yet. People are going to have to go out and see what you're doing in order to catch some of that great acting skill that you've been born with.
Excellent. Thank you. And it's been such an honor to be on your show. I really appreciate it.
Hey, Anton, one last time, if you can tell our listeners where they can find you and where they can keep track of you with your Facebook, your Twitter. Just give us the addresses again and your website.
They can go to toleranceinc.com. That's Tolerance Inc. And that's for everything Cat on the Hot Tin Roof related and this whole community for equality that we've built. They can also reach me on Anton Troy Official on Facebook, Anton_Troy on Twitter, and my website, which is AntonTroy.com.
Excellent, man. We thank you again, and keep up the great work. We hope to speak to you real soon again.
Excellent.
So this is the part of the show where we always like to dedicate a song to our guest, Anton Troy. But also this is going to go out to John Lacey for standing up for his rights. And the song that I chose today is a song called Burning Sun. And what it is it's a song that represents unity and how we all share things in common around the world. This is Burning Sun. And that was Burning Sun by Saint Tone. You can find that song at www.sainttone.com. That's SAINTTONE.com. And the lyrics are there. You'll see some videos there also of us performing live. Also, remember to like us on Facebook. It's Facebook/Saint Tone.
So that's our show for today. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you supporting the Mike Precise Vision Fund. Please go to www.humanitarianradio.com and click on Mike's smiling face and help him see out of those beautiful eyes and change a guy's life. If you know somebody who should be featured on our show because they're doing great things in this world, please reach out to us on humanitarianradio.com. Go like us on Facebook and keep track of exactly what's happening in our world. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Humanitarian Radio, shouting out some good news for your soul.